Good morning. So this morning, because it's been so hot out this summer, I'm going to start with a story about snow, about the winter and skiing. Hopefully that'll cool off our imaginations a little bit anyway. But imagine that you're in the back seat of a car and you're traveling down the highway. And as you look out this window, the window actually, it frosts up every time you breathe. And it frosts up because it's so cold outside. And imagine that as you look up at the sky, you just see this beautiful, crystal clear blue sky above you, and the sun is glistening off of the snow as it hits it. But that's not all that often, because actually this highway that you're on, it's bordered on both sides by these 20 to 25 foot walls, just straight up, of snow that's been plowed off of them. You know, that was the view that I had from the back seat of my friend's dad's car as he was driving the two of us up to go skiing for my first time. And because of the excitement of that day, I still remember it. I still remember it as clear as if it was just yesterday. But once we got to this ski place that we were so excited about, we had a decision to make. We had to decide whether we were going to strap on our skis and jump on the lift and try and learn skiing on our way down the hill for the first time, or whether we should invest in, really we felt like waste, the whole morning on a ski lesson. And, you know, we're thinking, here we are, we're two junior high kids, and we're going, you know, a whole morning, that's a lot of time to waste on something that you're pretty sure you could figure out on your own. Not that we could have figured it out on our own, but as junior hires, we thought we were pretty well convinced that we could have figured it out on our own. But in the end, you know, my friend's dad, his wisdom prevailed, and we ended up taking the ski lesson. And by the end of it, I was glad we did. I was so glad we did, because what I learned above anything else was that there's a lot of things in skiing that you're not going to just happen to learn on your way down the slope. There are some things that go really pretty much against everything you might think of. No matter how brilliant our junior high minds were at the time, we weren't going to figure this stuff out. There are things about skiing that are what we'd call counterintuitive. Big word, burst onto the scene about 25 years ago, hasn't gone away since, but what it basically means, it means something that goes in a direction that you would have never figured out by your own instincts, by your own just perception, by your own just trying to figure it out by looking at it. In fact, something that goes almost the exact opposite way sometimes. There are a lot of things that are counterintuitive. English spellings of words are counterintuitive. When you have a language that has a GF that sounds like, or GH that sounds like an F, that's counterintuitive. There are a lot of things in skiing that are counterintuitive, especially at the beginning. One of the things I learned was that when you're going down the hill and you're doing the snowplow, which is that you're forming your skis in this big V in front of you, if you want to turn left, you lean to the right. That doesn't work. That's not what you think of. I mean, if you're riding a bike, you turn to the left, you lean into it. You're into the left. If you're roller skating down a hill, you lean into the turn. If you're tobogganing down a hill, same snow, same setting, lean into it. Why would skiing be any different? Why would you ever lean away from the turn? I mean, when you're going down that one of the slopes for the first time, you're looking down it and you're thinking, if I lean out from this turn, I'm going to go out of control. I'm going to go into a tree. That's going to be the end of my day. But what you actually find out is in the snowplow, when you lean out, you go against everything inside of you, your body's screaming, no, don't do this, and you lean out, you find that inner edge of that outer ski, of that downhill ski, it actually cuts in, and all of a sudden you find that you're turning slowly and safely up the hill, away from danger. Counterintuitive. You know, there's a lot of things about what God tells us, about how He has designed us, about the life that He has called us to, that are also counterintuitive like that. Everything inside us screams, no, we should go the other way. But God says, no, I want you to try this, because this is how I designed life. So there are these things in our lives that we look at it and we say, you know, as we go at life, we go, you know, how hard can this be? Why can't we just kind of strap on our skis and learn it as we go? But if we try that, we look around and we find that we're kind of like that skier that didn't take that first lesson. didn't take that lesson to find out some of those basics about skiing that aren't the way that we necessarily think about them. We find out that we're not experiencing the fullness of what life maybe could be. We're not enjoying it in the way that we've heard it can be enjoyed. We're not experiencing the abundance of life that God talks about in Scripture, because some of the wisdom of God is counter to the way that we would think. It's against the way that we would normally figure out. And one of those practices that is counterintuitive, one of those habits that God, those heart formations that God wants to work into us, is called generosity. Generosity, where we learn to give, where we learn not to hold on to things, but to instead give away our treasure in order to find life. You know, this past summer, what we've been talking about is treasures and pirates. We've been talking about this treasure called the kingdom of heaven and this treasure that God has offered to us, and how oftentimes we try to shortcut our way into it, like pirates try to shortcut their way to treasure. Jesus said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's buried in a field. And the person that wants to gain it, they go out and they get rid of all their treasure in order that they might have that field, in order that they might be able to buy that field. And we find that part of gaining that true treasure that God has for that kingdom of heaven is learning how to actually give away the treasure that we have here on this earth in generosity that reflects the heart of God, that reflects the wisdom of God. You see, we have it in our heads that how you gain treasure, how you build up treasure, is you actually grab on and you hold on to things. You stockpile so that you can gain status and safety, security, that sense of, you know, you have that buffer in life that you're taking care of. But actually, God says, no, to gain, you lose. To grab hold of, you let go. To actually obtain, you give away. That's generosity. But that's counterintuitive, isn't it? That's not how we think. Now, a couple of things I want us to know, though, about generosity. What generosity is not. Generosity is not simply giving away all our stuff. Sometimes that's just bad stewardship, right? That's just not taking care of the things well that God gave us to take care of. So generosity is also, it's not being easily conned out of or manipulated out of your stuff because somebody tells a sad but deceptive story to you. And so you give them everything. That's just called being taken advantage of. Generosity is not also, it's not about the size of the gift being given. Generosity, for example, is not, sometimes we talked about tithing a few weeks ago. Tithing might be a substantial amount of money. Or a substantial amount of resources. In the Old Testament, it was a substantial amount and very good parts of your crops and your animals. But tithing is not generosity. Tithing, now God may use tithing in order to start teaching us about giving away our stuff, giving and learning to be generous. But tithing, that the tithe belongs to God. So that's not generosity. Generosity, even giving $1 million to something, to a great cause, that may or may not be generosity. If you're a billionaire, I mean, that's like pocket change to you. That's not necessarily generous. So generosity is not about the size of the gift. It's not about just giving away. So what is it? Well, generosity, actually, it's a posture of your heart. Is how you position your heart. Generosity is a heart that is always leaning towards others, leaning towards others for their good, their spiritual good, their physical good, their emotional good, their financial good sometimes. Generosity is a heart that leans towards others, but also generosity is a heart that leans towards others with an attitude that, you know, whatever I have that can get you to a better place, I want to try and invest that. If I feel God prompting me to use what I have, what He has given me, to get you to a better place, I'm always ready to do that. So generosity is leaning towards people, but it's also, I'll use anything, even if it costs me, to get you two to a better place. And then finally, generosity is also, that means that we're holding on to everything that we have loosely, as stewards of things that God has given to us, rather than as owners of stuff that belong to us, that we determine. That's generosity. Generosity is an heart attitude primarily towards people. It is in how we will use the things that God has given us, the resources God has given us access to enhance the lives of others at whatever level God calls us to. And, you know, when you think about it that way, generosity comes from God's own heart. We see that kind of generosity in Jesus and how he came and he gave everything for us, not for his benefit, for our benefit. We gained. But it was because of how his heart constantly was leaning towards us. In Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, that passage that was read at the beginning of this message, what we see there is that it says that actually God, because this world was created by the God with that kind of a generous heart, we find generosity woven in everywhere we look. Listen to this, what it says. It says, there's the one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's the one who withholds what is rightfully due to another, and yet it only results in greater need or greater want. The generous person will be prosperous, and the one who waters will be watered. You know, that first line, you can see that at work in any farm or anywhere in this world. They take a little bit of seed. They scatter it on the ground, and by nurturing it and caring for it, what they find is that a crop comes up. They plant in the spring, and later that summer or into the fall, this crop comes up and is 10 times, 20 times, 100 times as much seed as was planted. That's generosity woven into the very fabric of this world. And then we look at the last line, and you know, we've all seen that's true. If those who water others will be watered. You know, you do good to others, and you'll find that good usually, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to come back. Because people feel like, you know, if they've been good to me, I should be good back to them. That's what our whole society is based on, woven into the fabric of our sociology, is this idea of generosity. But then we get to that second and that third line, those two middle lines, and we're like, wow, I have a little trouble with that. You know, how many of us have seen someone who has withheld something that really belonged to somebody else, something that should have been due to them, and it hasn't resulted in a need on their part. It hasn't resulted in their greater lack or their greater wanting. In fact, it seems to have it's resulted in them becoming more prosperous. And that third line, how many of us have seen those who have been extremely generous, even if they don't have a whole lot to be generous with? And they're generous, but we say we look at their lives and that doesn't always mean that suddenly they're prosperous. In fact, sometimes they give away the little that they have and no one actually does come around and give back to them. And we say, you know, what do you do with that? And there are those who say, well, you know, these are proverbs. These aren't promises. You can't take everything so literally. But if we can't take that literally, we say, well, then why should we try so literally to be generous? If there's no payoff for this practice, there's no guarantee that it's coming around, then why was it said? And why would we invest our stuff into that? Why don't we just go into that protection mode? And then if it is a promise, then how is it true? Because what do you do with the realities of what we see in this world? I want to tell you the reality that I've seen, that I've experienced in this world, is that I truly have seen that those who are generous, they do prosper. And sometimes they even prosper financially. I think that's the key. We think just in terms of money. We think if I invest my money, if I invest my stuff, I should get money and stuff back. God doesn't say that. He says they'll prosper. I want to ask you, is it prosperity when you have a peace that you can't even explain, but it won't go away and it guards your heart so you're not full of anxiety in this world? Is that prosperity? Is that gain? Yeah, I'd think so. Is it prosperous to know that you are covered, that you are loved by God and his favor rests on you and he opens doors and guards you from danger and provides for needs that you didn't even see coming? Is that prosperity? Yeah, that's prosperity. Are those things worth having? Yeah, so somebody who's generous with their stuff and that's what they have instead of just a bunch of material stuff, do they prosper? Yeah, I think they do. Now you say, wait a second, that's kind of bending the rules. You're kind of changing the game. I thought it was, you know, plug in some money, get out some more money. That's what I'm about. No, that's pirates, right? God's not making us into pirates. God wants us to be his kids. When he invested his own life, what did he get out of the deal? He got us. And for him, he said, that's his greatest treasure. He wanted us. That wasn't a one-for-one deal. You know, in the New Testament, money is regularly spoken about like you talk about seed. It says you plant money, you invest money in people and in causes, and you don't end up, it ends up bringing forth a harvest, but it's not like a harvest of money. You don't get stuff back. It says instead, no, you get transformed lives sometimes. You get people who are rescued. You get a better world that comes out of it. You get a place that's changed for the better so that people live and you experience more of the life that God has intended. That's the harvest. You see eternal things being settled and being anchored into it. Things that are actually better than money, worth more to us than the cash that we carry in our pockets. And then he says, and you know what? And like seed, the more seed you plant, if you plant it well, you plant it in the right soil, the more seed you plant, the more harvest you get. So be generous. Be generous with the resources that God has given you to see that kind of harvest. And because it's coming from the heart of God, because all of this is tied in ultimately to the heart of the one who created all of this, we know when we're generous that God's involved in the deal. He backs it up. He is all for it. He's all in with us in that. So we're not going to lose. We can't outgive God with our generosity. God says, because of that, you know, we may have just a few seeds, but he says, where you plant that, he says that he will bring forth this generous harvest because his heart is in it. That's why seeds in this world work the way they do. We plant them and this harvest comes back because this world is framed. This world is saturated with. This world is woven through with the workings of the generous heart of God. We trust him with seed. Why wouldn't we trust him with our stuff? Why wouldn't we trust him with our lives and our time? So he says to gain, give, to hold on to, let go of, to obtain something, give it away. That's generosity. So how can we be generous? How can we be generous in our week, in our lives? How can we be generous this week? Well, I think the place we have to start, we have to realize that generosity is about the heart. It's about our hearts. It's about our attitudes. It's about leaning into. It's about leaning towards other people first. Leaning towards their best. Leaning towards seeing them brought to a better place and using whatever we have. It's not giving them what they say they want. It's not giving them what they say they most need. It's really asking God to help us see what it is that they most need. You know, an alcoholic will tell you what they really need is a drink. But what they probably really need, they might just need someone that comes alongside of them, that is persistent with them, that shows love towards them, and that doesn't let themselves, isn't manipulated, doesn't become an enabler, but instead helps guide them back to the life that God intended. You know, there are those who are out there, and what they really need, they need food, they need clothing. There are those who are out there that they need somebody to sit down and just listen to them, or sometimes just be with them. That's generosity. It's listening to find out from God. Are our hearts leaning towards people in a way that say, God, what is it that this person needs? What is that next step that they can take towards being in a better place, and how can I be a part of that with you? That's generosity. Second, we need to learn how to hold everything that God has given us as if we are stewards of those things that belong to God rather than the owners of those things that belong to us. Because otherwise, we're going to be very stingy with our stuff rather than listening to God and how he wants to use his stuff. Knowing that if he's asking us to give this stuff that he's stewarded to us, give it away to someone else, we know that we're his own, we're his children, we're his people. He's going to take care of us. But learning how to hold loosely to those things so that we are always ready to use whatever we have available in order to, for the good of those people who God has drawn us to, God has drawn us towards. And in that way, we find that, yes, God will back this up. He has a great reward for those who have that kind of a heart. And so he says, you know, this is not just proverbial platitudes that I'm, the one who's generous will prosper because they reflect my heart towards other people. The third thing is we need to learn how to listen to God. I've said this several weeks in a row. We need to learn how to listen better and better to God in a way that we hear him so that we hear who he's pointing towards. We hear how he wants us to invest in their lives. We need to learn how to listen to him clearly so that we can be generous in the way, in his plans, with his stuff. But then finally, also, we need to do the work, right? We need to do it. I can lean all I want. I can hold things loosely all I want. I can listen to God all I want. But if I don't act on what he tells me, that's not generosity. That's just, I don't know, that's all internal. And God says, you know, I need this generosity. I need it pushed out into the world. So I want to challenge you to get your eyes open. Get your heart leaning towards others, but get your eyes open. Get your ears open to hear God, that he can point you. He can start highlighting. And I want you to start asking God, God, start highlighting those places so that I can start being involved in the lives of others. Be generous, over the top, extravagant at times, letting go of the things that are not really mine to begin with. But in order to see others move forward, let go of my time. Let go of my financial resources. Let go of the tools in my shed, the money in my bank account, the time in my day to release all of that stuff and say, God, they're yours. How do you want to use them? Let's start leaning with our hearts. Let's start really letting loose of the things with our hands. Let's start listening for what God's saying with our eyes. Now let's start doing it with our hands, with our feet. Let's start becoming those anti-pirates that God wants us to be. That don't look to grab more, but look to gain treasure by giving away more. Let's start showing that generous heart of God in this world and get a better grip on all that treasure that God has for us by actually letting go of the treasure that he has kind of right in front of us right now. It says there is one who scatters in this world, but increases all the more. Let's be those people. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the challenges, those counterintuitive challenges you give us. That wisdom that doesn't make sense sometimes in this world, except that this world is woven through with it. So it works. We can count on it. Come straight from your heart so we can count on it. Come straight from your heart so we can know you're backing it. So Father, meet us this week. Open our eyes to see those opportunities that are all around us. Open our eyes to see those people and those causes, those challenges that are in this world that we have the opportunity to partner with you in through generosity. And see lives transformed, lives rescued. To see this world made a better place. To see spiritual things anchored. Spiritual things established and forever locked into place. So that we begin to see, again, your kingdom come, your will being done, your name being lifted up here on earth in the way it is in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. We pray these things by the power of your Spirit who fills us, and we pray these things for your glory, Father. Amen.